Blog Talk Radio.
New, everything new, everything new.
Dedicate this song to
DMJ.
Those that don't know what you got.
Thank you.
The victory, and you might as well give God the glory for it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you all you listeners listening by internet, and we just thank God for you. Well, a word of prayer. The scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So we want to thank God, for first of all, for his word, because it's in his word that we learn whose we are and who we are. It's in his word, brothers and sisters, that we learn what the word of God says, that we can be born again. And once we're born again, according to 1 John 5:18, the evil one can't touch us. That means we do have fellowship with God now, because we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And because we've been born again, God have made us the apple of his eye. Because we've been born again, we become partakers of a divine nature. Because we've been born again, bless God, we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because we've been born again, sisters and brothers and daughters, let me tell you something. There's a change going on the inside, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because we've been born again by the word of God, the incorruptible seed, we are reconciled to God and made a minister of reconciliation, wherein God is working in us to do his will. Hallelujah. And because we've been born again, we are lively stones. we're being built up as a spiritual house, according to 1 Peter 2 and 5. We're partakers. And we're thankful for his word. We affirm that the Spirit of God lives in us. And as you have the word of God to take place in your life, he lives in you because you are a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why we prayed that song, New, 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 because it should be new. Father God, we just ask you to bless this word. Father God, we ask you to, those that need to hear from you, Father God, let them hear from you right now. We just pray this prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, said amen. We're reviewing today. Our review today is about maintaining a proper perspective. And I guess one of the most intriguing subjects, knowing that God's purpose. Man, that's a beautiful thing, to know God's purpose. The Bible says in our foundational scripture, we had two of them. One of them was Romans 8 and 28, and we read verses 26 through 28. And then we also had Ephesians 1 and verses 9 through 11. So let's go further. Those that have not been with us in years. In Romans 8, verse 28, in the King James Version, read like this. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. To them that are the call according to his purpose. And we went back and we grabbed verse 26. But the thought this week was maintaining God's purpose in your life. And we'll probably finish that because first of all, you got to find what God's purpose is for your life and then maintain it. But the 26th verse says, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And with that being said, then you can understand Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, not something, but all things work together for the good. Now, I know somebody's thinking right now, well, things don't work together. Yeah, but when it comes to your eternal life, it doesn't mean these things are working for your good. And we argue the issue this week that is very important, brothers and sisters, that we understand what that means, that God is working things together for us. Because to do his will. Ephesians 1, 9 through 11, have made known unto us, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in dispensation of the fullness of time, he may gather together in all one things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. So that's the purpose. You want to know what purpose is? Purpose is like a plan. And note purpose really is. Purpose is goals. What you aim to do. Purpose is your intent. And of course it can be an idea. But what's your objective here? You got to have a purpose. What is your intent? So understanding God's purpose, what God's task was, what he set out to make happen, and that is that we be like him. And so he says all things are working together for our good. Man, I just find it so fascinating that as far as your eternal life, God is working everything together for your good. Now, does it for everybody? No. Who's it for? Those that love him. Now, everybody don't love God. Now, you may not agree with that. But see, I go by what the Bible says. The Bible says over in John, I think it was, we had that scripture. It was John, I think it was 14. And it was John 14. I think we went through verses 21 through 23, 24. But let's go and visit that scripture, if you will. In the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, you know, this is the chapter where he said, tell the people, not to worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. You know, you that believe in God, he wants you to also believe in him. That those are Jesus' words. But in the 25th verse and the, I think we read through the 24th. I was trying to find my notes here. But either way, we're going to start with John 14. And we're going to read 21st. Okay, we got Pastor. See if she can read it out of the Messenger Bible or another version. But in John 14, 21, it reads like this. He that have my commandment and keep them, he is he that loves me. Mm-hmm. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and we will manifest myself, and I will manifest myself to him. And the 22nd verse reads, Judas said unto him, not Judas Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Reading from the Message Bible, John 14, 21 through 24. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Master, why is it that you are about to make yourself plain to us, but not to the world? Because a loveless world, Jesus, I'm sorry, but because of a loveless world, Jesus, said Jesus.
A loveless world.
Yes, a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my word. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. So Romans 8 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Well, I want you to see if you love God. I want to know if you love God. And here's how you can tell if anybody loves God. Because he that have my commandment, well, the word of God, and keep them, that's who it is that love God, man. Anybody can say they love God. Anyone. But if they have it, the word of God, and keep it, they love God. And it's more than just don't do this and don't do that. No, it's bigger than that, man. It's far greater than that. To love God is to obey his word. To keep is to obey. To keep is to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, this is God's plan. You may not want to be part of God's plan because this is his purpose. His purpose is, look at the big picture. God's purpose is that we be like him.
Amen.
God's purpose is that we begin to speak the word right now, not when we get over there. I know we've been talking this stuff about when we get over there. But since I'm going to tell you something, this is going to shock you. May knock your socks off. You will not be going to heaven.
Right now.
Yeah. But that's what folks taught us. They never taught us there was a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God. The old heaven and the old earth was passed away. Heaven was designed for God. And his and the angels and his servants. No, God gave us an earth. And I'm not trying to bring in a new doctrine. I'm just telling you the truth. It's nowhere in the word of God teach you that you're going to heaven. It teaches you about your eternal life. Don't get that twisted. You're going to have eternal life. And yes, it will be paradise. And yes, it's going to be all those glorious things. But God is not telling us that we're finna go to heaven. But his purpose, plan, is that we be like him. So that's what this is about. This is God's mindset. Well, how do you know God's mindset? Because the word just told me. This is his purpose. This is his goal. The word just told me that. I didn't wake up in the midnight hour and dream that. No, God's word told me that.
All right. Amen.
This is his plan. His plan is that we be like him. That's why we can become new creatures now. Old things are passed away. That's his purpose. His whole purpose is we start being like new. Don't worry about the sin. Don't worry about you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. See, Satan want to bombard your mind with that kind of stuff instead of you declaring and decreeing that you're the righteousness of God. That's the kind of conversation mm-hmm. we ought to be having. Instead
Amen.
Of just old stuff, well, I ain't this. And Pastor, you know sin. Well, I don't know none of that mess. That's what Satan knows. See, God wants us mm-hmm. to be righteous conscience, not sin conscience.
Thank you, Lord.
Because, see, once you get born again, according to 1 Peter 1:23, well, the old stuff is passed away, brothers and sisters, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's old stuff. I'm a new creature now.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I'm a lively stone. I'm alive in Christ. I died with Christ. And just like I died with Christ, the rule is that I can reign with him. I'm living with him. I no longer live for myself, but I live in Christ, bless God. See, you got to understand, you've been bought with a price, man. It wasn't cheap.
Amen.
It was free, but it wasn't cheap. That was his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christ got crucified, we got crucified with him. So I no longer live after the flesh, but I live in Christ now, in his spirit. Not that condemning spirit. No, not that. That's God's purpose, is that we be like him. He have not changed one iota. I don't care about the sin stuff. He did that, allowed that to happen, so we can become like him. It's working for our good. All this stuff is for our good. So don't look at it negatively. But he says, and I know. See, you got to know certain things, brothers and sisters. You got to have full knowledge. Because to know is to have knowledge of it.
Amen, amen.
Let me try to go down your street here. I don't know anybody know anything about cooking. Now, you can go in there. You can put some, let's say, for instance, grits, for instance. You can go in there right now and you can put some water in the pot and put the grits. And they probably will eventually. Lumps and all will come. But now, since I know that it's better to let the water boil first, see, because I know that. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be better. You let that water boil, then add that grits and stir it as you go. You will get zero lumps. Guarantee it. Because I know
Amen.
That. See, mm-hmm. certain things you know. So when the writer says he knows something, and we know, he made it plural, we know. He's talking people who've experienced God, people who have believed in God, people who tried God. We know. Cause, you know why? Because we trust him. And we found out that he is a father for the fatherless. He is a mother for the motherless. We know this. Yeah. We know that he is a lawyer in a courtroom. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's a doctor. See, we know that because we've experienced that.
Amen.
God is a lot of things to a lot of people. And don't let me get to talking about just his name.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for people who love God. And to love God is to love his word.
Amen.
That's how that works. So we talked a little bit about it. And remember, we're trying to maintain this, okay? We're maintaining this purpose. We're maintaining God's plan.
Yeah.
We ain't trying to change nothing. Genesis 1:26 said, God said, let us make him in our image and after our likeness. And he created him male and female. God hadn't changed plan. I know some folks think he changed plan because you got women trying to be like men and men trying to be like women. But that wasn't God's plan.
Amen.
God got it right now. He got it right. He gave the right person.
Mm-hmm.
I got some children. Listen, you better, if you don't get educated, you better tell them I'm going to give you a minute to get them out the way because I'm going to tell you something. God's plan hadn't changed. It hadn't changed, Pastor. I don't care about the world changing. They're making laws in Georgia and other places. And God's plan hadn't changed.
Amen.
Have all the you want to have, but God's plans hadn't changed. He made Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve. He gave who he wanted to have a vagina, who he wanted to have a penis. And that's where it is, man. But people, they don't want to accept God just like they want to accept his word. But that's his plan for you. That's his plan for your life, Isaiah said. He knew the plan he had for your life. He knows the purpose.
Yeah.
He knows what he was doing. We want to change God's stuff. God ain't told you to do that. God ain't told us to do that.
Help us, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Stick to the plan, man. Stick to what God done laid out for you. The task is at hand. Yeah, the task is at hand. Stick to God's business.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
Get yourself to function like God wants you to function instead of functioning according to the flesh. And I'll just tell you this, brothers and sisters, right now. God expects for us to start speaking what the Word of God say and not what we think or feel.
All right.
Cast down them thoughts and them high, vain imagination. Cast that stuff down, man, and say, well, the Word of God say this.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not fashionable, but God said, let the sick say they well. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
God speaking. He said, let the sick say they are well. Well, the world... Yeah. Say the opposite. If you say that, you sick. Yeah.
Mm.
See, because to the world, that sounds ridiculous. How you land up sick and you going to say you will. See, the world, that's the way the world see it. But aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're part of the citizens of heaven? You see the... in heavenly places, you're seated in on the right hand side of the Father, along in Christ. You have a right to the throne of grace. You go in and out because God is your Jesus Christ is your high priest.
Amen.
Yeah, believe it or not, brother and sister, you're in God's arm right now. You're in Jesus' arm right now because you're in Christ. And that's what make you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. We enjoyed that prayer by Evangelist Usher on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And,
amen.
It's powerful. And I just urge anybody who loves God to stay in his word. You're showing him you love him by staying in your word. And I'm not talking about looking at it. I'm talking about getting in there, studying the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Study.
Amen.
Look at it and admire it. Oh, yeah, I read my word. and you're going to read one scripture. No, God requires us to study to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 3:16. Well, he expects for us to study.
Yeah.
And he hadn't changed. That's why I keep telling people, God ain't changed his mind. Now, the enemy would love for you to think that God has changed his mind. He hadn't changed his mind even by when about his word. When he said study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God hadn't changed that. Because you know what?
He knew
the times were going to be here. He knew the time was going to come when men would become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. But let me tell you what, God expects for us to study his word. Didn't change.
Amen.
Change. He had not changed. God expect for us to study his word, show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is our responsibility to study that word. And the reason he wants to study, there's several reasons. But let me just give you one real good one. Because when you study in that word, you study in God. You find out about God. You find out about your Father. You're learning who you are now that you're in Christ. So that's what's going on. You want to continue to study to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
God expects us to study. He didn't change his mind.
Amen.
He hadn't changed his mind. I know some people think he have, but see, if you study, if you do a 2 Timothy 2:15, I promise you, you will not be ashamed.
Amen.
If you do 2 Timothy 2:15, you won't be ashamed. The enemy will tell you some stuff, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you study. And there's several ways you can study. And you don't even have to read all the time. Sometimes you listen to audio. Sometimes you do your research and find out the what, why, when, and where. Study. Then I need to find out what is this? Why is this? Where is this? Just use the 4W principles. Yeah, you use that principle.
Amen.
You can study. You'll be surprised what you find out. Because you know what? God expects for us to be a workman. That's what we are. We're workmen. Show ourselves approved to God, not to our bishop, not to our pastor, not to this theologian, or not to this person in the thought. No, we're to study to show our proof unto God because you are a workman. And you don't have to be ashamed. You know why? Because you're going to rightly divide the word of truth. It ain't like you're going to do this thing wrongly. You're going to do it right. Yeah.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to tell you one of the best things, Solomon said, one of the best things you can do is to study the word of God. And I believe it, too.
Yeah,
see, you study for a lot of reasons. People who want to have a successful business, study the business. Study. Mind your business. Take care of your business, and your business will take care of you. You study the Word of God, the Word of God going to take care of you. Because he said, now, if you're just abiding my word and my word abiding you, now, you ask whatever you will, and it's going to come to pass. And not only that, the bonus of this is you're going to get to see who the Father is. You'll see him. You will literally see him.
Amen, amen.
Living in that word.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're going to open it up. Anyone like to have anything to share? I was going to do Colossians, but I want to make sure I open it up to everybody first before we do Colossians 3. So anybody have anything to say thus far about anything or anything you want to share?
Pastor, I'd like to read those scriptures from the New Living Translation, 2 Timothy 2:15, and then 2 Timothy 3:16. So it's reading from the New Living Translation. Work hard so you can present yourselves to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the 17th verse says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So reading it from the New Living Translation, it says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. That's beautiful. Listen,
amen.
Brother and sister. Just the mere fact that we understand that 2 Timothy 3:15 says, if you just understand, I just quoted it and just read this other scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15. Is what I was looking for. Where he says to study to show yourself approved.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be approved of God, stop trying to get man's approval.
All right.
Man, God just gave me his approval. How you know that? Because I study his word. I got his approval. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed. Because I study. And he's going to make it. He's going to show me how to rightly divide this word of truth. I'm going to do it right, because I can do it wrong now. If I can do it right, I can do it wrong. So that I can do it right, so I can do this thing right now, divide it right, I'm going to study. And I'm becoming this great worker.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody
Amen.
Else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Well, if not, we're going to go to the book of Colossians on Friday, we went to the book of Colossians, the third chapter, and really we dealt with so much there because there's so much to unpack. But the 16th verse, and then we jump back to the 15th too, but that 16th verse says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual song with singing grace in your heart to the Lord. Then I like what he said over there in the, I want to say it's about the 15th verse. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And we dealt with that a little bit Friday. And this word let means you have to give permission for that word to work in you. You have to allow that. It's not automatic. It just don't come with it. You know, a lot of times we think instruction come with everything. No, you have to study. And then you have to let the word of God dwell in you. And you have to do it richly. Well, one of the things we learned Friday, if you let the word of God dwell in you, do you realize you're letting God live in you?
Amen.
Think about that. You ought to give some serious thought to that. What's going on with you? That's God in you, man. That's God living in you. What an awesome thing. What a great thing.
Amen, amen.
Well, you can walk around holding your stomach. Somebody said, what's going on? Hey, God is in me. How you know? Because the word of God is in me. He said, I'm letting him live in me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of letting the world weigh, let the word of God live in you now. Instead of always thinking you're a sin conscious, think righteous conscience. Instead of you always thinking about what folks say, think about what God said. Let that live in you. Let that abide in you.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, over there in 2 Timothy 2:5. And remember 1 Corinthians 2:16 said, we have the mind of Christ. Because we're letting the word of God live in us. That's what being a new creature is all about. Old things are passed away. We don't want to continue to live like we used to. Believe like we used to. Act like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Make the Lord your shepherd.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit on Colossians 3. Well, matter of fact, we talked a whole lot on it. But you have to let that word, you have to let God's peace live in you. When you let that word live in you, but that God's peace, which is his word, would begin to rule your heart, would begin to rule your inner man, and you would begin to allow that spirit to take over. And you won't always be nasty toward people. You won't always have your way. You'll become more like Christ. You'll become more humble.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he said above all things, put on charity, which is the bound of perfect. Put that on. You have to do that. See, people, they just don't want to be responsible as Christians, but you're going to have to be responsible. You're going to have to obligate yourself. to be like Christ. It ain't going to happen automatically.
Amen.
Remember, we're workmen now. We're working. We're working this thing because God is working it for our good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. Amen.
You have anything you like to share, Pastor?
Just those scriptures that you read out of the, I like to read it out of the Message Bible, verses 15 and 16. It says, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thanksgiving. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the whole house. Give it plenty of room in your life. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your life, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Amen. I'm sorry, that was 15 through 17. Amen. So when you say let, that means to allow the peace of Christ to be in our life and keep us on track. And then the Message Bible said, keep in step. Amen. With God's word.
See, God's the one that said, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Tell my God's word. You have to let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You let God rule your heart. But when he said, let the word of God, he's talking about his word, man. That won't change, people.
Amen.
Let that word start teaching you. He said, richly.
Yeah.
That means a whole lot of it. That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's richness.
Amen.
Let as much of it's going to come in all wisdom. You want wisdom? Let the word of God teach you wisdom. That's what he's saying.
Amen. Yeah.
He said, let Christ himself teach you this. And admonish one another. Let the word of God teach you how to admonish one another.
Yeah.
And then he's going to teach you how to do it in Psalms. Going back to what the evangelist Renee had said about Psalms. I'm going to tell y'all something. God gave me this. 20 years ago. That's when people out sing, they ought to sing a psalm to somebody. Because see, when you're singing that psalm to somebody, that's the word of God. God will confirm that. When you sing the psalm, I mean, and I know people, they sing whatever you want to sing. But I'm saying, when you are allowing the word of God to be first in your life, you're going to sing psalms. And one of them, I mean, I can give you so many psalms in there. You could just sing, he's your light. You're going to prophesy what the word of God say.
Amen.
Yeah. See, that's when you're doing it in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Well, if you're going to do it to the Lord, then you could do it to me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. See, God, it's kind of strange, but God doesn't try to put himself above us. He tried to make himself equal with us. That's what Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, I want y'all to know, I'm equal with you. Matter of fact, I didn't even come to condemn the world.
Amen.
But through me, the world might be saved. Jesus didn't come to make himself of some great reputation. That ain't what he did. He come to show us who God is. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And he must understand that God loves us just where we are. And
amen.
For us to love him, then we got to start loving his word and saying what his word says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyone else? Hallelujah.
Amen. Pastor, okay. Can I read it also out of God's word? Verses, starting with the 15th verse, Colossians 3.
Yeah. Read it and okay. Close us out, okay? Thank you.
Okay, Pastor. Reading it from God's word, it says, also let Christ's peace control you. God has called you into this peace by bringing you into one body. Be thankful. Let Christ's word with all its wisdom and richness live in you. Use psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and instruct yourselves about God's kindness. Sing to God in your heart. And verse 17 said, everything you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen, amen. So I really like it because it tells us to let Christ's word with all its wisdom and richness live in you. Amen. And when we do that, we're able to sing those songs. And when they say psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because it's in our hearts. And it's showing that we love him and others as well, you know. And, you know, we reach back there and get them songs. Some of the songs, they don't sing too much anymore, but a lot of songs, you know, them hymns that we used to sing, it's a message in the song. Even the songs that Pastor plays when he opened up for the word at noon, it's a message in those songs. And so we just have to, you know, we just have to listen closely to that message in there. Amen. You know, you have to get past the beat sometimes to hear the words. But thank God it's a message in those songs. Amen. So I just thank God for the words. Amen. Oh, yeah, Pastor said close out, didn't he? And I'd like to give a praise report, and then we're going to close out. We're just praying for my granddaughter, Morgan. She's everything is well. Her chest, she is in good health. Praise God.
Yes.
To God be the glory. So we thank God for your prayers. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, God bless everyone. We'll see everybody for the word at noon tomorrow. God bless.